This is the Book Legion Podcast, where we review thought-provoking books to give our Legionnaires the knowledge they need to dominate the next level of their life.
Thanks for tuning in again this week to the Book Legion. This is Ty, your host. This week, we're going to cover the book, The Magic of Thinking Big by Dr. David Schwartz. So what's really cool about this book, it was written in 1959. So Mr. Schwartz is no longer with us. But this book actually came by recommendation of by Ed Milet. So many of you probably do not know this, but I'm part of the Arte Syndicate, which is a group of entrepreneurs and business leaders who get together and just make each other better. And so it's ran by Ed Milet and Andy Frisella. And that was a book that Ed Milet had recommended. So it was something that helped him start to think bigger when he was young on in his career. So decided to give it a go. And it definitely didn't disappoint. So the book, again, the language is a little bit different because it was written in 1959. So he uses words like fellow, upright, and it's very male-centric dominated because of, you know, the way that things were back in the 50s, which was predominantly mostly men in the workforce. So that's kind of the way the book's written. So I'm just letting you know the language is going to be a little bit different than your typical, you know, self-development book that you're going to read nowadays. But nonetheless, the principles are timeless in the book, which is the most important part, irrespective if the language is a little bit different. And I'm going to cover my top three biggest takeaways in chapters in the book. So let's get into it. So the first chapter I want to talk about is chapter two, which is Cure Yourself of Excuse-titis. So he really starts to set the precedent early on in the book that excuses are not something that successful people do. Successful people don't make excuses. All the successful people I know, they have more of the Jocko application of extreme ownership. And he really talks about the only people that really make excuses are those average people because they're trying to cover up for their inadequacies or their mediocrity or their lack of effort or try. So what he really wants you to get to understand is pinpoint, are you making excuses? Are you a victim of this yourself because of yourself? And so he covers, you know, the four main common excuses, which are health, you know, I'm just not healthy enough to do this. Or age, you know, I'm too old, I'm too young. I hear this all the time in sales. Oh, I'm just too young, they're not going to take me seriously, right? It's always a bunch of bull. Or maybe I'm not smart enough to do this. That's only for people that have this degree, or, you know, I don't have that type of mind. And the last one is, well, my situation's just different, right? I'm different. You don't understand my situation. And so he walks you through all these different excuses, and then he walks you through why logically they're just added excuses and they don't really make any sense. And one of the things that Dr. David Schwartz does really well in this book, he gives all kinds of real life examples. He's a great storyteller. So it's kind of like, here's the lesson. Here's how we deal with it, and here's real life stories of things that I've seen play out this way for the good or the bad, right? So this is something he talks a lot about in chapter two, and he goes through different stories of these different types of excuses. But the biggest takeaway, again, for me is always own your shit. The more that we own our problems, that we own our challenges, the better opportunity we have to grow. So I like that he gets that out in the beginning, that you got to eliminate your excuses and take more ownership of your life. And then the second chapter I want to cover is chapter four, which is how to think big. And, you know, obviously this is what the whole book is, right? The magic of thinking big. So chapter four really starts to break down practical ways in which you start to recondition your mind to think bigger. You know, it's interesting. I did the podcast last week, Go for No, by Richard Fenton and Andrea Waltz. And one of the things I talked about in there, and it kind of goes back to this, is how to think bigger, right? And what I talked about there was, you know, I've been in insurance for a long time. I used to work on, you know, deals that were $1,000 or $1,500. And now I work on deals that are multiple seven figures. And what I had to come to realize is that the workload was the same. I just had to think bigger and allow myself to expand bigger throughout my career to work on bigger deals. There was really no difference between working a $1,000 deal or working a $5 million deal. It's the same effort required to get it done, but the payout's obviously a lot different. So he really starts to break it down, how you think bigger. One of the things he really talks about, a big emphasis on page 82, is how to visualize. And I know we've talked about this in other podcasts that I've done from other books, and I love talking about the visualization because it's been such an instrumental to me, helping me and get to the next level as far as my career. It's helped me think bigger. It's helped me to just be more confident. And again, why visualization works so well, why many athletes do it and successful business people do it, is because your brain cannot give you the distinction between you visualizing and what is actually reality. So one of the things that a great exercise Ed Milet gave is that if you're thinking of a goal, and every time you walk through a door, you think of that goal, you picture yourself accomplishing that goal. So you walk into your bedroom, you walk into the bathroom, you walk out of your house, right? Every time you do that, every time you walk through a door, you think of yourself accomplishing that goal. Well, your brain then starts to rewire itself in a way that it thinks that you already have accomplished the goal. So it starts to eliminate those barriers of those limiting belief systems where you think, I can't do that. The goal seems too big. So if you start to rewire and you're thinking about yourself, you're actively seeing yourself in your mind accomplishing the goal. Again, your brain cannot tell the difference between reality and something you're visualizing. So you start to look for things, bring things into your filter to help you start to attract and achieve those goals. And then your brain believes that it is possible. When you believe it is possible, then you actually go for it, right? You don't hold yourself back. So visualization can be really, really instrumental for achieving, you know, physical results, for achieving monetary results, for better results for a relationship, the way you may interact with your spouse. There's lots of different ways you can use visualizing. This is where, like, you know, fighters or football players, like, you know, football players, they visualize catching the ball. So when they go in real life and they go to catch the ball, it all feels like they've done it a million times because they have in their mind. And again, the mind cannot distinguish the difference between reality and what you are visualizing. So it's a really big takeaway, page 82, chapter 4, how to think big, pay special attention to that. And then the last chapter I'm talking about is chapter 7, which is manage your environment, you know, go first class. And I love this type of mentality. It wasn't what I thought. I thought it was going to be more talking about how, you know, there's a lot of thoughts of like, hey, don't sit and coach, fly first class, have that feeling. And once you anchor that feeling of what it's like to fly first class, then start to project, you know, and start to bring in that type of reality, that real type of reality. You might be able to sit first class and you can't really afford it, but that experience will drive you harder to want to sit in first class every other time out after that. So I thought it was going to be a little bit more on that. And it is about feeling successful, but it really spends a lot of time talking about surrounding yourself with successful people and stay away from small thinking people and negative thinking people. You know, treat yourself like a first class person and only associate with first class people. And when you do that, you start to have first class type results. And that's really what the chapter is about. And I think that it's really important to, you know, always take into consideration your environment. I mean, there's for me personally, when I go into a workspace, I try to identify with people that are like-minded and are positive thinkers. If I have people that are in an office that I've had to work with in the past, I work from home, so I don't work with anybody, but real life example, there's always going to be those people that are at the water cooler talking shit, people that are negative, that don't like the company, don't like the product, and there's always those people. I get the bad leads, the company's always trying to get over on us, yada, 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 and that type of negativity, I can't deal with. So I just don't associate with those people, and this is kind of what the book's getting at, is associate with people that you aspire to be like. Bring those people into your reality. So people that are the type of people like, oh man, why don't you just relax? Why are you pushing so hard? You need to take time off on the weekends. Why do you do so much? You know, life's not all about money. Those people, that is just a projection of their own insecurity. So I don't associate with people like that. And that's what the book is saying. You know, really identify those that you work with, maybe in your social circles, maybe even in your own family. Understand if you have small or negative thinking people, you don't want to associate with them. You want to associate yourself with first class type people that have a mentality of growth, love, positivity, and really helping to support each other. So that was a big takeaway from chapter 7. Again, it's just, you know, go first class in all realms of life, and especially the people you associate yourself with. Again, if you guys have never read the book, I would really recommend it. As I said, it was written in 1959. The book is just, it's one of those things, it's just like, it's so simple. A lot of the principles in there, but they're just great reminders. And it's a relatively long book, you know, for it's 300 pages. So, and you get a lot of action in there. There's a lot of meat in the book as well. And if a guy like Ed Milet, you know, who's worth $600 million, just bought his own island, is recommending, you know, one of his top three books for you to read, you got to read the book. So I'll drop the book. The link will be in the show notes. If you're listening to this on podcast, you're watching this on YouTube, irrespective, they'll be in the notes. So scroll right down. The book was relatively inexpensive. I think the paperback was like 13, 14 bucks. So it's a worthy investment. Like, I try to bring all the books here on the Book Legion. If you guys haven't done so, please make sure you subscribe to the podcast and share with three or four like-minded book lovers. Really growing the Legionnaire movement. Said it's been great. We've been at this now for 6 months, and the response has been awesome. I get great emails from people with different types of recommendations. So I encourage you to reach out to me. I always have my contact info in the show notes as well on things that something you've read that's been impactful or books you'd want me to review. But I really appreciate all the support. I think we've hit well over 30 different countries around the world. So the Legionnaire movement is growing by way of people reading great books to elevate the quality of their life. That's what this is all about. So thanks so much for listening. I'll talk to you guys next week.